The Night Horseman by Max Brand. Chapter 1. The Scholar. At the age of 6, Randall Byron could name and bound every state in the Union, and give the date of its admission. At 9, he was conversant with Homeric, Greek, and Caesar. At 12, he had read Aristophanes with perfect understanding of the allusions of the day, and divided his leisure between Ovid and Horace. At 15, wearied by the simplicity of Old English and 13th-century Italian, he dipped into the history of philosophy, and passed from that, naturally, into calculus and the higher mathematics. At 18, he took an A.B. from Harvard, and, while idling away a pleasant summer with Hebrew and Sanskrit, he delved lightly into biology and its kindred sciences. Having reached the conclusion that truth is greater than goodness or beauty, because it comprises both, and the whole is greater than any of its parts, at 21 he pocketed his Ph.D., and was touched with the fever of his first practical enthusiasm, surgery. At 24 he was an M.D. and a distinguished diagnostician, though he preferred work in his laboratory in his endeavor to resolve the elements into simpler forms. Also, he published at this time a work on anthropology, whose circulation was limited to 200 copies, and he received in return 200 letters of congratulation from great men who had tried to read his book. At 27 he collapsed one fine spring day on the floor of his laboratory. That afternoon he was carried into the presence of a great physician, who was also a very vulgar man. The great physician felt his pulse and looked into his dim eyes. "You have 120 horsepower brain and a runabout body," said the great physician. "I have come," answered Randall Byron faintly, "for the solution of a problem, not for the statement thereof." "I'm not through," said the great physician. "Among other things, you're a damned fool." Randall Byron rubbed his eyes. "What steps do you suggest I consider?" he queried. The great physician spat noisily. "Marry a farmer's daughter," he said brutally. "But," said Randall Byron vaguely. "I'm a busy man, and you've wasted 10 minutes of my time," said the great physician, turning back to his plate-glass window. "My secretary will send you a bill for $1,000. Good day." And therefore, 10 days later, Randall Byron sat in his room in the hotel at Elkhead. He had just written to his friend, Swinnerton Loughborn, M.A., Ph.D., LL.D., incontrovertibly, the introduction of the personal equation leads to lamentable inversions, and the perceptive faculties, when contemplating phenomena through the lens of ego, too often conceive an accidental connotation or manifest distortion to be actuality. For the physical, or personal, too often beclouds the power of inner vision, which so unerringly penetrates to the inherent truths of incorporeity and the extra mundane. Yet this problem, to your eyes, I fear, not essentially novel or peculiar involute, holds for my contemplative faculties an extraordinary fascination, to wit, wherein does the mind, in itself a muscle, escape from the laws of the physical, and wherein and wherefore do the laws of the physical exercise so inexorable a jurisdiction over the processes of the mind, so that a disorder of the visual nerve actually distorts the asymmetris and veils the pneumatoscopic. Your pardon, dear Loughborn, for these lapses from the general to the particular, but in a lighter moment of idleness, I pray you give some careless thought to a problem now painfully my own, though rooted inevitably so deeply in the dirt of the commonplace. But you have asked me in a letter of recent date for the particular physical aspects of my present environment, and though, as you so well know, it is my conviction that the physical fact is not, and only the immaterial is, yet I shall gladly look about me, a thing I have not yet seen occasion to do, and describe to you the details.